Dan, Melanie, thank you so much for joining me here today. It's lovely to have you both in here at the same time. And it's for a very good reason. It's fantastic to see such collaboration. And we're here to talk about a very exciting piece of research, BPF commissioned. And Dan, I believe you've had a part to play in this.
I have indeed. Good morning. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Good. So, Dan, let's start with you. Tell me about this research.
So the research is really looking at, the UK has done a huge amount in the whole technology space and digital transformation, and there have been lots of research, and in fact the Future Cities Catapult did a piece of research for the BPF middle of last year. So there's been a huge amount of work done at this, and what we wanted to do is really look at, take a step back and look on a global stage, how's the UK positioned for digital transformation generally, and also look at some of the activities that are going on in the UK. So wherever you look in the media or across any of the conferences you go to, there are always huge numbers of things being spoken about, but they're not often that joined up. So we wanted to map those out and see what the UK could do to leverage that.
And there's some exciting results, and one of the things that I wanted to pick up on, just as you've mentioned how the UK performs, is that transparency has come up particularly high for the UK, and education, yep, and data as well.
Yeah, so we instead of looking at actually how digital transformation is going, because we're at such early stages of it and the real estate sector is just coming up to terms with it, then we wanted to look at the environment that was needed, so the ingredients to have successful digital transformation. And we looked at seven different ingredients in particular, including the size and maturity of the market, the adoption of technology and innovation and so on. And as you say, data infrastructure was one of the things that came out very, very strongly for the UK, and it was a world leader. And so we've got the data that's in place, which is needed for a lot of those other transformations that happen.
Excellent. And Melanie, so this is really exciting, and it's so great to see a body like the BPF not just getting involved, but commissioning and backing research like this. Can you tell me a little bit about the involvement and why this has come about?
Sure. Well, morning, Emily. And as you say, it's rare that actually you get Dan and me in the same room, because one or other of us is always out and about somewhere, it would seem. So this is a fantastic opportunity. So thank you for
that. Not at all.
So I guess the BPF is all about trying to spot the things that are fundamentally impacting on our industry. And tech is undoubtedly one of those. And digital transformation is something that's coming, it's already here, but not enough of the industry yet is probably thinking about that in the strategic way that they need to. So that's an absolutely ideal set of circumstances for the BPF to come in and say, how can we identify and map this trend? How can we figure out what are the things that the industry really needs to be thinking about collectively as well as individually, and what role can we play to help drive change? And the other part of that, I guess, is what are the barriers? What are the regulatory barriers and roadblocks that are going to get in the way? Just because legislation always lags behind the way the real world's developing, and therefore sometimes, you know, you find yourself in a position where things have changed so dramatically, but the regulation and the policy hasn't kept up. And that's another place where the BPF comes in to say, okay, how do we influence that policy environment, and how do we get the lawmakers, the legislators, the policymakers to understand what's going on and support it and help to drive it rather than just be behind the curve?
And in terms of that support, I think with all these things it's really important to work out where the will is, and as long as the will is there, then everything else can follow. So from in your experience, is the will there? The will's there to sort of push forward with this and for everyone to join together?
I think it absolutely is, across public sector, private sector and academia, actually. I think the will is there. I think what Dan's report points to very clearly is that there's lots of good stuff going on that demonstrates and evidences that goodwill and that appetite, but it's not all joined up cohesively, and therefore we're missing the opportunity to pull it all together and to turn it into a coherent narrative about the strength of the UK and its opportunity to be a world leader.
And Dan, what are your thoughts on that and the will to drive this forward?
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. I think there's a huge amount of will for people to do things. I think in the last 2-3 years we've seen there's been a real shift in acceptance and understanding of technology, the impact it's going to do. What has happened though is I think there's an awful lot of scary talk about it. I think people are coming to terms with the fact that it is a threat, there's no question of that, but it's also a huge opportunity. And the recommendations of this report hopefully point to some of the small steps that we can take in the first steps into this, rather than having to change businesses and invest huge amounts of money straight away.
And there is a plan, isn't there? There's sort of a plan for a government-backed body. Am I right in saying body? That's probably not quite the right word. Or digital.
Yeah, well, the report recognises that a couple of things. Firstly, the property sector is enormous and it's incredibly fragmented. It's very, very important to the economy generally, and also solving some of the other challenges that are out there, like housing or sustainability. And the best way that the sector can come together is through collaboration to try and fund some of these things. So a lot of this, the outcomes, are taking those first steps and then also making sure there are forums to collaborate in. So one of the recommendations is having a forum to collaborate and discuss data and data sharing. Everything is going to be pinned on that going forward. And as Melanie said, things like the regulation, the use cases, all of that's going to become more important. But it's only going to work if it's at an industry level. The other thing is that the government is doing a huge amount of stuff already. And actually the UK government is doing, probably leading the world in terms of digitizing the services it's doing, the projects it's supporting around BIM, the digital transformation. But if we can align all of those together, then they could be even more powerful going forward. Mm. So it's about collaboration, and it's not just public sector versus private, but it's bringing together everyone to work together.
Mm. And Melanie, what has the reaction been to this research? It only came out on Wednesday, so we're very, very fresh to this. Mm. And it's great to have you both in here talking about it so quick off the back of it. So it might be a bit quick, I suppose. I know you've been up and down the country, but what's the reaction been so far?
The reaction's been really positive. I mean, I think there is a groundswell of really committed members within our organisation. So we set up a technology and innovation working group last year, actually not just in our membership, but bringing some external people involved, getting involved as well, and they're champing at the bid, I think, ready to go to take this agenda and really drive it forward. But one of the things I found, you know, sort of representing, I suppose, what's seen as the traditional property industry, as the BPF sort of got more interested and more involved in prop tech over the last year, 18 months or so, and I've gone out and about meeting tech companies and going to their events and not just expecting them to come to us, actually there's been a huge appetite and welcome for the BPF getting involved. You know, I've probably got more friends on social media from the tech sector in the last year than anywhere else, just because I think people recognise that this is a sector with huge opportunities for interesting and innovative thinking, and people who want to get involved. It's just making it easy for them to find a way in and to find the link that they're going to have with the customers, with the opportunities that are being created for them.
Hmm. And Dan, did the research throw up anything that was a surprise to you? Was there anything that came back and you thought, oh, wasn't expecting that?
So I've been fortunate to work across lots of different areas, so I'm not sure much of it was a surprise, but what was nice to see was some evidence and actually all put down on a piece of paper. So, for example, one of the things that we did was we mapped out all of the industry-wide activity that's going on. Most of it's government, although not all of it, but just to see how that is spread and how much activity is going on was really, really impressive and encouraging. So I think it was really good to see quite how much activity there is that's going on across the UK. And I also think that if you look across the size of the market, so we did some market analysis just to try and quantify the size of the property sector. And again, it's not a surprise that it's a big sector, but having that in numbers, the number of properties that are out there, the value, bringing all of that together into one place, does really highlight the role of property in the wider economy and solving the problems. Mm. So one of the things that's estimated is that 90% of the time of everybody's time is spent indoors. So the role of property on well-being and happiness and effectiveness and productivity, all things that are getting more and more important, is absolutely enormous.
And Melanie, what about you? Was there anything that you looked at and thought, well, that's interesting, and hadn't thought that might be the case, or changed your thinking or the way that you look at the sector and how it's not dealing with, that sounds like the wrong way, that sounds a bit aggressive, but and how it's interacting with the tech side of the equation?
I suppose, I mean, not being as close to the issues for as long as Dan has been, I mean, I was really genuinely surprised to find out, you know, how much is already going on actually, and how well placed the UK is. I mean, you kind of we're maybe quite hard on ourselves, Brits, traditionally, I think. So you probably start from a position of thinking, well, we've got a lot of work to do, and we do have a lot of work to do, but so does everybody else. You know, it's not a situation where everyone else has raced ahead of us and we're behind. It's a situation where everybody's got a lot of work to do. Everybody needs to kind of really press on the accelerator, and we're really well placed. So that was, I guess, that was a welcome surprise, but also, you know, signals, I think, how clearly we mustn't lose the chance to take hold of this opportunity and run with it.
I think the other thing I'd say is that we're often criticised, or criticise ourselves as an industry across the world, of being incredibly behind the times and incredibly slow. I think that's probably fair, but also there are some good reasons for that. We are an industry that's slow moving, and that's part of our attractiveness. And actually, when you look through the report, it demonstrates just how much is going on that has all been started in the last several years. So it does show how much we've changed in a pretty short time.
And what are the next steps? So I know that we've mentioned and we've touched on briefly some of the recommendations, and that's it's fantastic to have a report that's come out that's identified what it's identified and shown where the UK sort of sits. But the fact that there's recommendations as well is what people are going to be looking for. So can we talk a bit about those and what they are?
Sure. Shall I kick off? So I think the political times are slightly against us in the sense that there's a lot of other stuff going on at the moment.
Don't know what you're talking about.
And ministers are rather distracted. So I think we've recognised that for the last couple of years, and we've taken the approach in general, I think, that we have to make it really easy for government to come in behind something. We have to do the heavy lifting, we have to present them with a compelling proposition, and we have to tell them how we're going to deliver it and ask for their support and help with that. And the beauty of this report, I think, is that it is broadly packaged up in that way. It's not actually very difficult to say primarily we want the convening power of government, and we want the power of the government's reputation and activity standing behind a whole load of the stuff that we need to do. But we can do as the industry, we can do the heavy lifting, because it's actually, first and foremost, it's up to us to take the opportunities that digital transformation can bring for our sector and make that something that works for the industry, make that something that works for our customers, but also make that something that works for the UK. So I think we're all about saying, how do we take hold of this agenda and present it to government in a way that makes it really easy for them to come in behind it and support it? And I think that comes back to, in part, linking up all the stuff that's already going on. Because government hasn't completely stopped, it's certainly the case that it's distracted, but it certainly hasn't completely stopped either. There's lots of investment going into real estate in different guises. There's lots of thinking going into these long-term strategic issues. So how do we package it all up and pull it together and try and get behind a united agenda?
And debatably, because we're distracted by other things, it becomes even more important for us to put our best foot forward. And I think digital transformation of real estate can become a real differentiator for the UK market. Absolutely working with other markets where we're already well joined up, but I think it can be something that we really push forward.
And I spoke a bit at the beginning about the will, which I think is important. And then in terms of putting best foot forward, how ready are we to do that, both practically and in terms of how people feel about change? Because that it all comes back to that, doesn't it? And it's so reassuring, I think, for the industry to see reports like this and to see a BPF commissioned report. And I think that people will see it and think, well, that's interesting, and the buy-in from real estate as well. But there is still this fear of change. So do you think that people are ready to take these recommendations, to read what the report says and actually act on them? Dan, first.
I hope so. I think that the recommendations in this report are meant to be very easy to consume recommendations that don't have to be huge steps that take hundreds of years. I think there is a fear of change. There's also a fear of failure, which if you look at the United States, to generalise hugely, if you go to them with an idea in the prop tech space, the answer is very often, that sounds good, let's try it. If you ask the same question over here, it tends to be, that sounds good, come back when we've got a couple of customers and other people using it. Now, that's a huge generalization, but we have to be able to start doing things now and not fear failure quite so much. We have to look at it as a first step. So are we ready for putting out our best foot in terms of saying that we've done everything? Absolutely not. There's a huge amount to do. But that shouldn't stop us going out and doing it, because other people have got a lot to do as well.
Melanie, same question to you.
What you can very clearly see is that the larger companies are changing. You can see they're hiring people from outside the property sector. They're bringing in new skills and talent because they know they need to change. So I think that's the first thing to say. The second thing is, I think this is ultimately a customer-led agenda, actually. And I think, when I came into property 4 years ago, it was very unusual to talk about customers, but I did it all the time because I'd come from the fast-moving consumer goods sector. Now everybody's talking about customers. Now that doesn't necessarily flow through quite yet into changes of strategy, but everyone is understanding, I think, that the customer is king in a way that wouldn't have happened 5-10 years ago. And if our customers are ahead of us in the way they're using tech and the data they're capturing and challenging us with as an industry, then that's death. So you're going to have to change to respond to the way your customers are changing if you didn't think that tech was important and an enabler for your business and having a better way of working. So I think there are all sorts of drivers that mean that the industry needs to change, and you can see the big companies responding to that. I think there's a challenge for smaller companies who probably find it much scarier to, as Dan was talking about earlier on, it feels very frightening. They probably feel they're at risk of disruption rather than having an opportunity to rethink the way they do things and make themselves more competitive as a result. So one of the other things the BPF tries to do is to sort of capture the investment and the energy that the larger companies can make into these kinds of issues and transfer that knowledge down the chain so that everybody gets a chance to share in that and learn from it. Mm. And we support the smaller companies to think of this as a positive agenda rather than something that's disruptive and scary and a threat to them.
Mm. And we've talked a bit about some of the recommendations, and as you said, Dan, they're kind of, you know, easy to, well, I mean, easy is a bit of a flippant word to use, because nothing about this is easy, but smaller steps rather than huge changes. If you were to look a bit further ahead then off the back of this research and these initial steps, and I'll ask the same question to you, Melanie, in a minute, where would you like to see the report ultimately lead to?
I think the basis of the report is that all the building blocks are kind of in place, and it's about joining them up. So for me, I think there's a real risk that in 5 years' time we're talking about the same thing, loads of great, very small initiatives, but they're not really solving some of those big challenges that we're facing. So Melanie's absolutely right about customer experience. It's all about that, and it always has been in retail, but it's now becoming that in offices and other services. And I think that one of the big shifts that's happening in the property sector, which is a huge challenge for us, and I don't think tech is part of this, but tech is the enabler to it, is that the silos that we work in are blurring. So we have to look across the life cycle of a whole building. Offices are becoming a bit more like hotels and industrial and retail, and they're all starting to blur. And if you look at an awful lot of the activity that's out there at the moment, including the structure of companies, the structure of investment, the structure of everything that's happening, they're based around those silos that we've had for many, many years because they've naturally grown up because things haven't changed.
Mm.
So I think that going forward, being able to connect those things will be the only way that we can have a huge shift on some of those different aspects. If you look at sustainability as an example, it's really important. I think everyone accepts it's very, very important. But an awful lot of the things that we've done about trying to address that have been on very small bits in the property sector to articulate in our silos. If we could join up the planning process with the valuation process, with the construction process, to really address that one single problem, then we could make a much bigger shift and difference.
Sounded like you just keeled over on live on the podcast.
Getting so excited by the
Dan Hughes is fine, everybody. He's fine. And Melanie, the same question to you. This is such a great report, and it's a great step forward for real estate and for tech to be joined together. Where would you like to see it end up and lead to?
Well, I think Dan's articulated it quite well. I
mean, until he choked at the end.
Until he choked, yeah. Exactly,
halfway
yeah.
through.
Yeah. He was doing so well. You can't keel over. You've got a report to do to turn into practice for us now. So I suppose there's a sort of at a high level, I'd love to see the forum established so that we have a genuine public-private dialogue focusing on the strategic level and thinking about how we put all this together, as Dan's described. I guess it's sort of a more practical level or a more grassroots level, there's a couple of things. I mean, which also helped to make it real, I think, for those companies who are slightly struggling with this agenda. And the first is, and the Future Cities Catapult report that Dan mentioned that we commissioned last year talked about this first, is, you know, just having a plain language definition of what this is all about. So it stops being scary and it stops being complicated and it actually becomes real to people. And they can say, okay, yeah, I understand that. I can get behind that. And the second is, and Dan points to it in one of his recommendations, is, you know, finding a way of making this relevant to busy CEOs and busy finance directors by showing how it impacts on value and how it's going to make, therefore, you know, hit their bottom line and be relevant to them in a very business critical sense. So those are two things I think that will just kind of help us to mainstream in the way that Dan's talking about, in the way that we have done with sustainability.
Great. Well, thank you both so much for coming in. Now, if people want to download the full report, I must confess that I'm looking around the studio now and Dan is going to help us with
that. I'll answer this. So it's on the BPF website, and they've also shared it quite widely through social media such as Twitter. So Britprop is on Twitter. So anything in the BPF side of things, you can find it there.
And you can also download it from EGI as well. We wrote a story up yesterday on this very report. And you can click through to the link there. And in case anyone has not worked it out, I can't remember what the link is, but it is on there. So thank you both so much for coming in. So exciting and perfect timing just before MIPIM, when we hope to see more of the tech and the real estate worlds coming together, as well as everybody meets to talk about, you know, other things and investment and whatever it might be. It's a very exciting time for real estate. It's an exciting time for tech. It's an exciting time for the UK. I mean, some people might be feeling a little nervous ahead of the end of the month or whenever it might be, but as you say, Melanie, government's distracted, but it's still doing stuff, and it's so important to keep up with these things, to do these things and to launch reports like this and to remind us that there's more to life than the B word. So thank you both so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.